Thomas Paine podcast number 36 on the Big Wednesday podcast. Coming up coming off a fired up Tuesday, Wednesday lineup. We had more Paine last night in the subscriber only area. And then Paine of the morning today, Wednesday. And I was fucking fired up a little bit. A few emails this morning. Man, you were on fire. And I think of my lot, like you folks out there, I get frustrated with everything that's going on in this country. And sometimes you just got to let it fly. Sweet emotion, right? It's all real on here, man. There's no play acting. There's no bullshitting. There's no scripts. It's just me. Just an American guy in journalism, trying to make things better as much as I can, little by little. So here we are again, number 36. My voice is on the mend. I talked a lot yesterday, so it'll probably get better as we move on here. I got a good 1-2 punch for you today on the Big Wednesday podcast. Thomas Paine, number 36 of the main podcast. And talk about sweet emotion. Before we get into that, thanks for being here. Thanks for the people on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit for being here as well. Your support, direct support with access to the subscriber only area, the More Paine Show last night, 2.5 hours, breaking down all kind of current events, Kamala Harris and the FBI and everything. General Flynn, it just goes on and on and on, the stuff we talk about on that show with Crowdsource the Truth, and people like it. Like I said, they're tuning in live, even though they have it on demand. There's a lot of live traffic, so we appreciate the support, direct support on those platforms, and if you can swing it, a couple bucks, throw our way, then you get access to everything, including the video podcast, and people say they don't like some ads sometimes that play on the audio podcast. Well, it's an ad-free environment on the video podcast, so there you go. Best of both worlds, right? Nothing free. There's no free lunches in this country. Although, they're trying to change it around, so guaranteeing everybody gets a free lunch, but there's no such thing. We know that. It's some hard lessons in life learned that there are no free lunches. Speaking of free lunches, we got a crazy 1-2 punch today. And we're going to jump right into it. One is Jeffrey Epstein's longtime business partner returns, and he spills more beans, and he's put together an investigative team, Stephen Hoffenberg, who previously on this show revealed how Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell made millions of dollars, illicit dollars. He's back, and he's got kind of a big announcement, so We'll let the interview speak for itself. He uncovered some interesting information and financial disclosure records that Epstein had to submit to the state of New York as a registered sex offender. And for some reason, the feds haven't picked up on this stuff. And that's what happens. There's a lot of people out here like Moynihan and Doyle who are whistleblowers of the Clinton Foundation with the IRS, and now Stephen Hoffenberg, former publisher of the New York Post and business partner with Epstein for a long time. Now he's turning his skills and his resources against Ghislaine Maxwell and against the Epstein cartel, and it is a cartel the more you listen to it. And his interview that we previously did with him was fascinating. This one I think is even better. Because we get into some of the reasons why he's doing this. And that's the kind of stuff I like to do to find out. What's driving you, man? Why are you doing this? Why have you made this your mantra? Why have you picked up this mantle? Why are you doing this? And personal stories are always the best when you get inside somebody's reasons for doing things. Most people just ask, oh, you know, they talk about people doing things and, oh, that's interesting, and, oh, you're doing this and you're doing that, and this is what we expect. They try to get inside people's heads. That's where the best stories are, I've found, through the years. If you're interviewing a criminal, or an alleged criminal, or you just made a confession, you ask them, why? Why did you do it? And they'll say, why do you need to know that? I said, I just want to know it for my own self. Well, I already confessed. You know, I know I'm going to jail. Yeah, okay, but why did you do it? Most people you find out when you deal with these aren't bad people. They just make bad decisions, and one bad decision leads to another bad decision when it's frauds involved, embezzlement schemes, and many of these people are good people. And some people do bad things for good reasons. So it's interesting to talk to people to find these things out. As I said, that's where I found the best stories are. And guess what? They like to talk about these things because largely they're misunderstood. So I think Mr. Hoffenberg falls into that category. I think he's trying to do good things now, and I applaud him, and we'll keep up with him. And what he says today is actually shocking. I think it'll probably be a national story, but I don't want to spoil it for you. I don't want to spoil it for you. So, but it's just another black eye for the federal government, the state of New York, the same guy who's, by the way, the same guy who's going after Trump, Mr. Vance in New York City, the guy who was responsible for overseeing Epstein as a sexual offender. He missed this too. The papers were filed. Financial disclosures were filed to him and Mr. High and Mighty now, who's chasing the president and the Trump Foundation and all this nonsense. The guy who got Trump's tax return subpoenaed, and he's subpoenaing Deutsche Bank, Trump accounts on Deutsche Bank. I'm not picking sides here. I'm just saying Mr. High and Mighty. You know, he's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, and meanwhile Epstein pulled off a major scheme right under his nose, and so it's interesting. And I think we'll take some of the documents and we'll put them online in the subscriber only area, and maybe we'll do a story or two coming out of True Pundit. So keep an eye on that. But it's another great interview with him. Fortunate to have his trust, and he's spilling some good beans. That's what we want. And my voice is coming back now. The other thing is crazy, okay? It's literally insane. As we were prepping this podcast the last few days, the Big Wednesday podcast, in addition to all the other podcasts we're doing, I'm in front of this mic all the time. I like it, though. I'm not bitching, okay? I'm fortunate to be here. I'm fortunate to have people listening to me and reading us. And I am. I'm fortunate, and I'm grateful. I'm not one of these ungrateful guys who thinks that the world owes them something. The world doesn't owe me anything. You have to go out and make your own mark in this world. There's nothing more powerful than self-empowerment and self-reliance. I really believe in that. And I think you pick up that vibe from listening to me. I'm a throwback guy. I think I probably belonged in the 1700s in Philadelphia. I'm a troublemaker. I'm a muckraker. And I'm a throwback, and I probably don't really fit in anymore in this country, but that's okay. I've been here for a while, and I'm going to ride it out the way I am. I'm not changing for anybody. Whatever happens, happens. But I think the country has passed me by as far as the type of person I am, and we've gone soft, and maybe we get back to the roots of America. I don't know. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. We're prepping this thing yesterday, and I get this phone call. You're not going to fucking believe this. And I never pick up phone calls that I don't know. But for the hell of it, I said, all right, let me grab this. And because it looked like a government call. And I said, it could be anybody, right? They could be out in the driveway again. We're coming in. So, maybe save them the trouble of breaking down the door and just meet him at the door with a cup of coffee and say, what do you want this time? But anyway, I answer the phone, and what transpired, you won't believe. And I'm not even going to spoil it for you. It's one of the most crazy schemes I've ever heard of. And it's a very revealing phone call. And it's troubling. It's troubling that these guys, the CDC and Redfield and these guys, they're up to no good. And it all comes from this clown and his cartel Gates and the super uber wealthy in this country that are trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes, at the same time pull a blanket over the country and change it around overnight. And it's scary. If you have kids, you should be scared of this phone call. I got off the phone. I said, hey, I want to talk to my wife. I said, you're not going to believe this. These guys, the CDC called me with a survey. It's out of control. Okay. I think this will probably be national news. So spread it around. This is a real phone call. I don't even know what to say. I really don't. We're living in very strange times. And sometimes words can't put it into, you know, proper frame. It's just, somebody sent me this. I don't know where it's from. A guy from college sent it to me. So if you've seen it before, don't shoot the messenger. But if you haven't seen it or read it, it's very interesting. So I'm going to read parts of it, not all of it, but parts of it. This isn't from me, but this is from, it's floating around. And I thought a lot of times words, like I said, it can escape you. So it's escaped me to try to frame everything that's going on. But so let me read part of this and then we'll go into the crazy phone call and into the, I think, news breaking interview with Mr. Hoffenberg, who has quickly become a friend of the show. And if he truly is on a vision quest, like I think he is, to right some wrongs, and more power to him, man. We need more guys like that. That's a throwback guy as well, who's made some mistakes, and he wants to correct them with the time he has left on this rock, so to speak. So let me read this to you. Tell me what you think. Afterwards, you can email or folks in the patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. There's always great chatter on there and comments. Tell me what you think of the show, too, as well. I think this is going to turn out to be one hell of a show. And I'm proud that it came together the way it did. And the call is insane. Sometimes, you know, it's crazy. I found in my career, stuff just falls in your lap. You just got to walk around with your hands out. And stuff just comes to you. You have to be open to these things, and they come to you. And it's the craziest thing in my career as a journalist. The guys that I worked with a long time used to say, I don't know how you do it more. You always step in shit. And whenever you get in trouble, like it looks like you're down for the count, you slip out of it and flip the whole thing around, and you come out smelling like a rose. And that's it's kind of my hallmarks. Even with the FBI and the DOJ, I flipped it around on their ads, on their asses, on their heads. And I don't think it worked that very. I think if they had to do it all over again, they'd leave me the fuck alone. But if they want to come back, I got more for them. I'll put that out to you guys out there in the DOJ and the FBI. I know you're listening. You can come fucking with me again. I got a lot more for you. I'm running at about 50%. I haven't even broken a sweat yet. Let me read this. I look at people I have known for a long time who are so filled with hate because they continue to listen to the opinions of the media as if they were spitting the truth. Sadly, I don't know what the word truth means anymore. It's absolutely unbelievable. I think I live in the twilight zone these days. We've become a nation that has lost its collective mind. Let me see if I can convey why I am thinking this way. If a dude pretends to be a woman, you are required to pretend with him. Somehow it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. Russians influencing our elections are bad, but illegals voting in our elections are good. Really? It was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's an impeachable offense if Donald Trump inquires about it. People who have never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who have never been slaves. Inflammatory rhetoric is outrageous, but harassing people in restaurants is virtuous. People who have never been to college or people who paid for their own college should now pay for the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis and polio are welcome, but you'd better be able to prove your dog is vaccinated. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the United States must go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gangbanger who jumps the southern fence are welcome. $5 billion for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free health care is not. Free in quotes. It's framing a lot of things. I mean, it's people who say there is no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. We see other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it seems like a great plan for us. Why would anyone in the U.S. want this? Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they are doing right now. Criminals are catch and release to hurt more people, but stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. And pointing out all this hypocrisy somehow makes us racist. Nothing makes sense anymore. No values, no morals, no civility. And people are dying of a Chinese virus, but it's racist to refer to it as a Chinese virus, even though it began in China. We're clearly living in an upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, where moral is immoral and immoral is moral, where good is evil and evil is good, where killing murderers is wrong but killing innocent babies is right, where darkness is light and light is now darkness. Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship, Titanic America, has hit an iceberg. It's taking on water and sinking fast. It goes on from there, but something else. I think I posted that probably on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. So if you guys want to copy and paste the whole thing, you can and share it. What the hell more can I say to that? To top that, I mean. You know, you're getting a lot in this podcast. We're throwing a lot at you. I feel like I'm under pressure to get as much out to you folks as I can. So that's why we ramped up and we're doing it every day now. And time is precious. And I wish I had a large, you know, just massive, massive platform like some of these professional liars do. The guys from Fox and the right wingers who just lie to you on a regular basis. And some who are too stupid to understand that they're being played by bigger forces. They think they have scoops. Oh, I got this from a congressman. Must be right. You're getting played. These people don't have enough experience to understand when you're getting played. That's why these guys don't talk to me. The congressmen, the Nunezes of the world, the Jim Jordans, they won't touch me with a stick because I'll get in their face. They don't want that, man. They don't want to screw up their prime time and their FaceTime and their podcast time. They want control everything. They have a brand to promote that they're in control and they're fighters for you. That's bullshit. All of them are fucking crooks. Listen to more. If this is the first time you listen to one of my shows, you got to listen to other ones so you can get a flavor of what I'm talking about. I'm not just targeting these guys. I'm targeting all of them. Every single one of them. Oh, but they're on our side. Wait. There's no sides in D.C. There's one side. Them against you. If you haven't figured that out by now, you need to listen to more of what I've been saying. Listen to the past shows. Tune in. Tune in. Get woke, so to speak. The right way. Get awake. Get smarten up. Here we go. So let's go into this call. And I'm not going to say too much after it. I think we'll probably just go right into the interview with Mr. Hoffenberg. But, I mean, it speaks for itself. You'll be scratching your head. So, yeah, let's do that. Let's do the call, and then we'll go right into the Hoffenberg interview. And you'll be on an emotional roller coaster ride from here, from here on into the end. That's the way it is on the Thomas Paine podcast. The truth can be very turbulent and very disturbing. But I don't say this often, but share this show, because this CDC stuff and also the information Mr. Hoffenberg has on Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein and the feds and New York State and Mr. Vance, Mr. Big Pants Vance, the guy in New York who's chasing Trump. Makes you wonder, right? They'll chase somebody like Trump for basically nickels, but for multiple hundreds of millions of dollars regarding Epstein, they let him off the hook. Well, you have to listen to it. It's actually insane. It's actually insane what's happening now. And as we drill down on this, this is what you find. This is why they don't want you drilling down on these things, because you find out more and more and more. And the CDC thing is unbelievable. Let's go into that.
Paul, as the CDC is conducting an important study about the health and vaccinations of children and teens, which will provide crucial information about the risk of diseases in our community. And just to let you know, my call will be recorded or monitored for quality purposes. And since I'm calling your cell phone, I need to ask, are you currently doing anything that would make it unsafe for you to talk, such as driving?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why you're calling again. You're from the CDC?
Yeah, no, I'm calling on behalf of the CDC. We're conducting a survey on the childhood immunizations and flu vaccinations on teenagers and children between 12 months and 4 years old.
What does this have to do with COVID?
Teenagers 13. No, this is just on childhood immunizations, the regular vaccines that they get for childhood diseases. No, this is totally separate from COVID. I don't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, what kind of questions do you have?
Okay, well, my question was, are you doing anything unsafe that would make it unsafe for you to talk, such as driving?
Not yet.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because if you are, we can't talk to you. Okay, and am I speaking to someone who is 18 years or older?
Yes.
Okay, and how many children between the ages of 12 months and 4 years old are living or staying in your household?
12 and 4? I have 7.
You have 7 children overall between 12 months and 4 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you have a total of 7 children.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay, and how many of them are between 12 months and 4 years old?
3.
Okay. All righty. And before we continue, I'd like you to know that taking part in the survey is voluntary. You may choose not to answer any questions you don't wish to answer or end the interview at any time with no impact on benefits you may receive. And we are required by federal laws to develop and follow strict procedures to protect your information and use your answers only for statistical analysis. And I can describe these laws if you wish. I'd like to continue.
That's okay. Yeah, you don't have to describe.
Okay. Okay. And so I'll know which vaccination questions to ask. Can you please tell me the month, day, and year of birth of your first child in your household who is between 12 months and 4 years old?
Like, what? Why would you need to know that? I'm just curious.
Well, that gives me the questions that I need to ask you for their immunizations, because children get different immunizations at different ages, and this will help me ask you the questions, because
so
I have to give you
their birth dates.
Well, you can just give me the month and the year. That would be fine. You don't have to give me the day.
Yeah, I'm not even comfortable with that. I don't know why I'd have to give you any information on behalf of the
CDC. It's a survey, sir. Right, and the survey is voluntary, but it also helps the CDC know how many children are receiving all of the recommended vaccinations and the ones that aren't, and what the reason is for, if it's a financial thing, if it's an insurance thing, and, you know, it helps inform policymakers to do a better job on, you know, figuring out how to get the vaccinations to the children that need them the most.
So why wouldn't I just take my kids to my doctor for a vaccination? I'm not sure why the CDC has why do they care what we're doing with vaccinations? Wouldn't that have to do with my primary physician?
No. And what they do is they just collect information. It's used for statistical analysis. They just compare, like I said, they're comparing how many children are getting them, why people are getting diseases, and why, and if that's the reason, if they're not getting vaccinated, you know. And this helps inform, like I said, it helps policymakers make better informed, you know, policies to help people.
So the
you know, that can't afford the vaccinations.
The goal of your survey is what? To see what vaccinations my kids have had?
To see how many children are getting. Yeah, and it's not just their children. It's a variety of children and the ages and their groups.
So if I have teenagers too, we can go through that?
Yes, we go through all of them. Because this is a survey on the health of children from 4 to 12 months and then from 13 to 17 years old. And you're more than welcome to look up our information. I could give you all the information.
Yeah, what is it?
Before
sure,
you
look
continue.
It up. Yeah.
Okay, sure, absolutely. I'll be glad to give you that. Okay, do you have a pen available?
Yeah.
Okay. The website, it's the NIS, which is the National Immunization Survey. The website is http://www.cdc.gov/vaccines/NIS. Do you need me to repeat any of that?
No, I got it. I just have a question for you. You survey people and they tell you this stuff just without checking out who you are. They'll just tell you all this stuff.
A lot of them do check, and that's why we have all this information, because a lot of them think it's a scam call, and I totally understand, because that's very basic. So many people call. But this is a very important survey. And I also have another information. It's the CDC Information Contact Center, which they can verify who we are.
Yeah, I'm just curious because you're asking for immunization records. It seems like it would be like a HIPAA violation to call somebody up, even on behalf of the CDC, and say, hey,
Right. And see, when we get to the end of the survey, we have to ask your permission. And this call is recorded. And
we have to ask
your permission. Yes. To see if, you know, we ask you if we have your permission to obtain the immunization records from your doctors or healthcare providers that gave them the shot. We don't get them from you directly. We get them from the doctors. And then from the doctors, you know, they send them to the CDC. And they do their statistical analysis with that. But we don't get your information, the CDC, and
at the end of the call,
they get it from the doctor.
After we go through everything, all my seven kids, at the end of the call, you say, hey, can we get your permission? And then you'll go get their you'll go get their medical records. I don't have to do anything. Is that how it works?
Yes, we get all your information, but we would also have to get the contact information of the places that the children got their immunizations. That way we can contact them and get the information from them. But that is only with your permission. We cannot get any records unless we have your permission.
What happens? Where the records go? I would be concerned where my kids' records go to the CDC, but I mean, you know, I read a lot of stuff in the newspaper that the CDC is kind of wacky.
Right. Well, I was going to say the only records that they get are the immunizations. They don't get anything else, nothing about their health, nothing about anything personal. It's only immunizations.
What happens if my kids don't have all the immunizations they're supposed to have? Then I get in some kind of trouble.
Well, that's a, no, because you know what? I mean, you have a right to refuse, you know, and sometimes children cannot get vaccinations because they may have, you know, a weakened immune system, or they may be allergic to some ingredients in the immunizations. You know, this is a non-biased survey.
Well, you're saying it's a survey, right? And then at the end, you're asking for medical record releases for my children that go to the CDC, and I don't know what happens to them after after it goes to the CDC. I don't know what database it ends up in. Seems like it's a massive, some kind of a massive problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
Potential
what,
nightmare.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you how that works because I just conduct the surveys, and whatever information they get is only immunizations. I know that much. It's only the immunizations that they get from the doctors. They
but
don't get nothing
if I release the records, it'll have my kid's name and the kid's names and the date of birth and the immunizations, right?
Yes. Yes, and that's it. And the doctors know not to give any other information because you're right, it's the HIPAA law. And we're only allowed to get the immunization records. This is a survey of only immunizations and nothing else.
And for kids up to what age? 17?
Yeah, 17 years old.
Let me ask you a question. If I call, go ahead.
Sure.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you wanted to do the survey online, you may be able to do that also.
And then what, you sign a release online for the records? Is that how it works?
I think you do it, yeah. That way you have more information on there. You could see all the questions that are being asked. And it says there are two ways to navigate to NIS-specific information. It says to navigate to Our Work, then to Projects, then filter onto National Immunization Survey.
Okay.
Or it also says, or click on Contracted by NORC, then click National Immunization Survey.
Okay. I'll try to follow all that stuff. I think I got it. A question for you. Do you have kids?
Sure. I do. My children are already grown.
If I called you and you had young kids and I asked you for this stuff, would you give it to me?
It just depends. You know,
You're a mom.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, and that's why, you know, it's very important to share this website information so that way people know that it's not a scam call. It's a very important survey, and it helps the CDC. Like I said, it helps your community make better informed policies and, you know, inform the policymakers to do a better job.
Well, I appreciate the call, and I'm going to check out those websites, and thanks for spending the time and entertaining my crazy questions. I think thanks
no,
for calling
okay.
me.
I understand. It's totally... All right, so you have a great day.
All right, take care.
All right. Bye. Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, real quick. I was just having fun with her. I don't have seven kids. God, I wouldn't have any hair left. If you have seven kids out there or more, God bless you. Just having a little bit of fun with her. She tripped me up, though. When I said I had seven kids under the age of four, I was like, yikes, how am I going to get out of that one? So I had to change gears on her. I wasn't even going to. I didn't think this thing was going anywhere, but then it turned into something that was going somewhere. So we're just a little bit of fun, obviously. And what a phone call. As a parent, guys, if that call doesn't scare the shit out of you, I don't know what does or what will. So the immunization records of your children, that's private medical information, gets piped down to the CDC. What do you think they're going to do with it? Do you think they're going to send lollipops and balloons on your kid's birthday? No. They're going to use it against you. Just like they do everything else. They're going to build a database. If your kids don't have the proper shots, guess what? Guess who's going to get notified? Your insurance company. oh, we can't insure the kids. They don't have the proper immunizations. Oh, how do you know that? Oh, you signed a release. What are you talking about? You told us. You told us all this. Oh, why are you at my front door? Who are you? We're from the CDC. The guy with the white coat, he's got a black bag with some needles in it. Line the kids up. Oh, you're on public assistance? Did you hear the lady said I wouldn't lose my benefits? She said that. Don't worry, you won't lose your benefits. She's talking about public assistance. I grew up on public assistance. I grew up on welfare. I grew up on WIC. Well, don't worry, you won't lose your benefits. Really? Until some tyrant like Cuomo or Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania decides I lose my benefits because we didn't get the COVID shot. We didn't get proper shots. We don't have this immunization. We don't have that immunization. See where this is going? It's just a voluntary survey that turns into a situation where you have to, they ask for your kids' medical records. What's next? They show up at your door and swab the kid's DNA? And what the hell's going on? What do you think they're going to do with this information based on what you know about these criminals now in the last 6 months? Hey, let's shut the country down for 15 days. This cabal, this cartel of criminals that lie to your face every day. Now they want your records for your kids? The lady on the phone didn't even understand what was going on. She's like, hey, I'm conducting a survey. We're trying to help people. No, you're not. No, you're not. Wake up, lady. Get another job. She wouldn't give me this information if I called her and asked for it for her kids. She basically said that. If you're out there, folks, and you're worried about the police state and you're worried about these players, these nefarious players, like, and you're worried about Burks and Fauci and Redfield and the CDC and Gates and all these criminals, the guys like myself, Bobby Kennedy Jr., Dr. Judy Mikovits been warning you about, and a lot of other people. This has come full circle. There's a reason I got this call. I tripped into this, quite honestly. Everything happens for a reason. This should scare the hell out of you. So let's move into Mr. Hoffenberg's interview, and we're moving quick. We're sticking and moving here. And wouldn't believe this. You wouldn't believe this on a Wednesday. It's thundering outside again in Philadelphia. Looks like going to get pounded with another storm. I might have to do this thing from an arc before it's over. Okay. Let's move into the interview. I like doing stuff on the fly. It takes me back to my deadline days. What do you got going? You found you're doing some investigations of your own. Maybe the Department of Justice could use you.
I'm doing substantial research with a team of researchers in the media that are investigating the money laundering by Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's enterprise, Darren Indyke, and the Epstein estate that's taking place right now. On the court filings of these three people, Maxwell, Epstein, and Indyke, there is the financial summary of what they say is Jeffrey Epstein's assets. This is in different stages of court filings and cases going on today and before today, starting with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, turning to the June 30th, 2019 asset summary filed by Jeffrey Epstein in the Southern District of New York federal proceeding for bail, Jeffrey Epstein listed what's called equities for $112,679,000. And what's called hedge fund and private equity for for 194,986 dollars. That's right in the asset summary dated June 13, 2019, filed in the Federal Court, Southern District of New York. By following that trail of detailed financial paperwork, we see in the estate filing that was made, it doesn't coincide. It's different. And that's amazing that the estate filing is different than what was made earlier in the other courthouse. The estate filing does not provide this information at all about the 300 some odd million dollars. It's not there. They give a whole different picture of different assets, not compared, not certified, no explanation of what's going on. Now, what is being told by me is that you cannot make filings in federal courts in the cases of Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Darren Dyke, who are parties to these filings. That is illegal and defective. And that's what's taking place right here. Ghislaine Maxwell, in her file papers for bail, the government said there was $20 million of bank accounts. However, in the $20 million of bank accounts is $15 million that Darren Indyke signed on with Ghislaine Maxwell in real estate transfer money for the sale of a townhouse. This, again, is money laundering. This, again, is a topic for arrest, because you cannot simply take out $15 million non-taxable, non-income, and buy houses and resell houses. You can't do that. And it's being reported on financial statements, and the government, the United States Attorney, Southern District of New York, they're working on this right now. They're doing a good job. And I'm happy to answer your questions further. Darren Indyke did this filing in the Virgin Islands for the estate. That makes no sense and has no explanation. Do you have some questions that I could answer, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Why? My question is, why haven't the feds or Justice Department reconciled the difference between the two filings?
The Justice Department has understood that the Virgin Islands are suing Darren Indyke and the Epstein estate over the second filing by the estate. Furthermore, last week on an interview with me, a former FBI agent said that there's no question that the FBI are investigating this particular claim. So it's not that it's not actually the point that they're not doing it. This is complicated. This is not easy. This takes an enormous amount of time to research and understanding and expertise in order to do this work. So it's not easy. And like you said a minute ago, we can help. And we are helping by explaining this slowly. And you're helping, Mike, by making it available to the public. The public needs to understand this. They need help. This is an untold story. and it has to come out. Please go ahead.
Okay, so we're talking about, you talked about one transaction, $15 million from the sale. It would be a poisonous fruit type sale where they were laundering money through real estate. My question then overall is, when Jeffrey Epstein gets picked up and arrested, and they don't, the federal government doesn't tap his bank accounts and freeze his assets, they de facto allowed somebody like Maxwell and whoever else was in his cartel that we may not even know about, household names, so to speak, they effectively allowed those people to keep laundering money and working whatever illicit schemes that they were previously working while Epstein was in jail. That's kind of a head scratcher why they wouldn't lock all the money down. You have any thoughts on that?
Yes. They would like to, the FBI would like to seize and lock down all the money by forfeiture. There's no question of that. But the research work, the expertise that's needed is being applied now jointly, according to the FBI, and according to the Attorney General of the Virgin Islands at St. Thomas, they're now looking into this. Now, myself and the media are doing similar research full time on the money laundering crimes. And we're coming up with details that we're able to explain step by step, because we're not under restrictions such as the FBI is under in not explaining their investigations. So we can help explain what's actually taking place, the inside story. And I'm happy to do that with you. I can teach you the inside story. Of course, this requires expertise and a great deal of time. Please go ahead.
Another question would be, the scheme is a lot larger than just Epstein and Maxwell. So I scratch my head and say to myself, why haven't other people been picked up that are party to this through the years, illicit schemes, especially since there are no statute of limitations that in the United States that really cover exploitation, sexual exploitation of minors. These statutes are open. They don't expire. So I'm wondering where the rest of the co-conspirators are. I think this is a lot bigger than something Maxwell and Epstein could cook up themselves. Now, that may not be a group that's a massive group, but it seems to me there would be other players, obviously, including folks that Epstein laundered money for and that sort of thing. What thoughts do you have on that?
Well, let's look at what we're able to research. Epstein has set forth that he is part of Towers Financial's cases earlier on in his career. They've now explained a little bit about that. In the Towers Financial cases that I was part of as an employee, there was $1 billion raised from Wall Street and $1.5 billion in business done a year. So Epstein participated in the Towers Financial cases ongoing with himself and his group from 1987 to the last week in 1999. That's $2.5 billion a year of manipulated money. Money laundering, that's only one budget of billions of dollars. Leslie Wexner has confirmed, and Epstein has confirmed by his team of experts, that there were $3 billion handled by Jeffrey Epstein for 16 years of Leslie Wexner's money. As a relationship between Wexner and Epstein and Maxwell participated, and Indyke participated. In those two accounts is over $100 billion of transfers over 20 years. In the Wexner accounts, with Epstein, with Indyke, with Maxwell, and the Towers financial accounts, there's over $100 billion of business negotiated over 20 years. This is a monster case. Monster case. And you raise good questions. When is this going to come to light? What do you have to do to bring this to light is your right. question. And that's what the public is asking in the news cycle every day. When is this going to come to light? And that's what I'm discussing today. It's time.
Well, there's folks, to light. There's folks like you. It's the craziest thing. There's folks like you now who are doing research and digging up this stuff. And there's on the parallel side, the Clinton Foundation, you have other whistleblowers that are digging up stuff over there, and they seem to be doing the job, in many cases, a better job than the Justice Department. The question I have is, it's you do all this work and you expose all these things as a citizen or a citizen journalist or a citizen investigator, and you give it to these folks. And it disappears like a magic act. Nothing happens. Now, I know that there's a lot of influence going on with these folks. They sell information. They barter information and things like that. But overall, it's frustrating. And I think that the national mood is sour. They sit and wait for some people to get locked up, and they never seem to get locked up. And a lot of the small fish get locked up, Stephen, you know what I mean? I mean, I think you can know exactly what I'm talking about, so.
Well, locking up Maxwell is a big step in bringing the light to this case, because she's a deep insider. She's absolutely one of the masterminds of the crimes. She directly participated in all the crimes. And she is one of the masterminds, one of the partners, and one of the more active people. And she's now sitting in a horrible federal prison cell, 24 hours a day. And she's emotionally upset. Her lawyers went to court today and yesterday to try and change her prison housing into better housing. Of course, all they're doing is claiming she's not being treated the same as other inmates waiting trial. That's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So you can see Ghislaine Maxwell is under tremendous emotional stress in 24 hours a day in solitary confinement in a federal prison cell. So that's working to the government's advantage. It's a very unusual case, and a case that needs the light and needs everybody's effort jointly to bring it forward. I mean, President Donald Trump wished Ghislaine Maxwell the best in two press releases or two press talks, and the victims crying. I'm dealing with the victims all the time, the rape victims and the financial victims, and they're upset. They're seeking justice, and that's what this discussion is about, seeking justice in this monstrous evil case. You're doing it, Mike.
Well, we're trying to shed some light on it, Mike. I know there's a massive tug of war going on inside the Justice Department on just about everything that is being worked on these days, and I just don't know what side it's going to come down on, who's going to win the tug of war on this one. Seems to be definitely there's a tug of war going on between Berman and Barr. We discussed that. You and I have discussed that last week. But beyond that, almost on everything we work on, Clinton Foundation and things like that, there's a good versus evil, a white hat versus black hat going on inside the Justice Department. And for the folks out here, Steve, we just don't see a lot of action. It's like, and also, I'll spin that into a question for you. Why do you think they allowed Maxwell to operate for a year after they arrested Epstein, where she could have been laundering more money, moving more, trafficking more weapons, trafficking more humans, blackmailing more people? Why wouldn't they pick them both up at the same time? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's been a very important question asked repeatedly. And that question, as we discussed in the past, deals with the firing of the main prosecutor in this Epstein-Maxwell indict case. The prosecutor, Mr. Berman, was fired from these cases. And at the time of his firing, then the arrest was undertaken. So we evidently see some questions opened when the Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Barr, fired the main prosecutor, Mr. Berman, in this case. And it was a contentious, difficult firing. Now we're seeing something occur where this money laundering is an absolute. There's no question. We have $300 million in hedge fund money and also equity money joined on a financial statement filed in the federal court in Jeffrey Epstein's bill details. And it doesn't work. It doesn't check out. It's money laundering. And we have to continue to bring the light on this. You know, there's a couple of former FBI agents that may be willing to interview. Because one did a show with me last week, and he was very helpful in bringing light on this. So when we go off air at another time, we'll discuss bringing on former FBI agents who can bring light to this. I think that would help.
Yeah, absolutely. The deeper we can dig on it, the better. We're just, as we said last week, we're just rolling up our sleeves here and getting scratching the surface. And the goal here is to dig as deep as we can and as fast as we can, because we have an election coming up too. Your thoughts on how the election plays into this?
Well, there's so many problems facing this election in compared to any other election. Maybe the election during the Depression would be the only comparison for America in the voting this time to change administrations. America is very upset. And today, the administration, the president is trying to get more unemployment benefits into the hands of the unemployed Americans that are jobless and can't survive and buy food. And he's getting backward approaches from the states in his statement, saying he wants to get this money out right now, where he signed these executive orders for $400 a week. But the states are saying they can't administer this quickly, and he should have renewed the old program at $600 a week that could have continued. These are very serious election points that are going to lose votes for President Donald Trump. He's going to lose a lot of votes over not getting this unemployment benefit back online for the American people. It's going to be very hard to win this race on his side of the page. Very hard. The country is suffering, like, terribly.
Well, given that, what you just said, what was the advantage of arresting Maxwell now? I'm not saying that you shouldn't have been arrested. I'm just curious why it happened now or in recent, you know, recently while all this was going on. Why did they let her dangle and do whatever she wanted for a year? Now, she could have ended up dead. She could have stayed in France. She could have turned this into a sideshow. Why pick her up now is what I'm wondering.
Well, that answer is part of the filing of the lead prosecutor for the Maxwell case, Mr. Berman, in July. Why was he fired and replaced when he wanted to arrest her? When he was on top of this case, and his argument about his firing was that he wanted his office to continue the case, and that's where the arrest was made, right after his firing. So there's been an inside story not told as to the timeline. And America, the voters, the public, would like to know the answer of why a year went by to arrest Maxwell, because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And honestly, there's it.
Well, the other thing that doesn't make sense, Stephen, is why do they still have access to that money? When you had your battle with the feds, didn't they lock up your accounts?
We entered into dialogue with the feds to form agreements to safeguard the money, the feds' involvement. This particular case needs to do that right now. The money has to be safeguarded. And what the feds would say is that the Virgin Islands is trying hard to safeguard the money and litigating to establish the evidence for the money laundering. But what we're talking about today is what the FBI has the great ability to do with the forensic audit on this huge amount of billions. There's over $100 billion of transactions.
Right.
That the FBI is stuck with. And they can seize a lot of money. A lot of money. And they're, I'm sure, doing the work. It's impossible that they're not. I'm sure they're doing the work. But they need cooperation. They need people like us, you and I, Mike, and the others that are working with me in the media, doing the research and showing the money laundering crimes. We're doing the work. I now have $300 million unexplained in a federal court filing by Jeffrey Epstein's lawyers. That make no sense. Makes no sense.
Let's go over the three. Let's go over the $300 million. Let's pretend I'm a complete idiot. I don't understand anything about money laundering. I can't even do my own taxes without TurboTax. Let's just pretend. Now let's talk about the $300 million you've isolated. All right. Where does that money come from, and why is it newsworthy, so to speak? If you were talking to a complete moron, how would you explain it? Like if you're in front of a classroom.
The money comes from crimes done by Jeffrey Epstein. That's where the money starts. And he, in his criminal money laundering, with Darren and Dyke, and Jolene Maxwell, and the others, created this fund pool of enormous money. But all he says is one word, equity, $112,679,000, $679,138. Just one word, equity. Then the next line on his financial statement, asset summary of Jeffrey Epstein, June 30th, 2019. The next line is hedge fund and private equity, $194,986,000. That's not a certified financial audit. That is a few words trying to not explain $300 million of Epstein's money out of $559 million of total money. And this isn't everything either. It's not $559 million. It's over $1 billion. And that is the problem. The money laundering accounting is defective and false. And that's the claim we're explaining this second. There's no reason, no explanation, no financial certified statement, nothing but a few words showing that Jeffrey Epstein laundered over $300 million. This is amazing. Amazing.
So you're talking about, you're talking about whatever's been reported as his assets are double that at least.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no question. It's definitely double that. There's no details. This $300 million has no details, has no accounting, has no supporting evidence, no paperwork filed by anybody into today. No support. Here we have $300 million of money laundering without any explanation. None. And that's what we're concerned about. Very concerned. And the government can move on the $300 million and that can start the process. And that's what we're trying to help victims with. Let's protect these victims, their damages. Let's protect it. It's ridiculous. $112 million and $194 million. Money laundering crimes described on a financial report as equities, one word, and hedge fund and private equity. That's money laundering. That's some money laundering, right there. And this is what they put in front of a federal judge who laughed at it. The federal judge said this is not a verified, certified, accurate way of filing paperwork describing an enormous amount of money. He rejected all of it. And that's where we are today, back on the air with Ghislaine Maxwell in prison, with more money laundering taking place. And she's part of it. Her $20 million in the bank supports this money laundering. It's all crimes. I hope I explained something.
Yeah, it's good.
Adequately.
Yeah, that's the explanation I was looking for. Absolutely. And I think it helps people better frame what we're talking about here. And even the money. Well, there's two things. One, even the money Maxwell had is tainted. The feds pretend like she had, you know, she got this money from waiting tables at some restaurant. But the strange thing to me is the Justice Department and its probation and parole and pretrial intervention departments, they put these financial statements together with the defendant who's been indicted. So before it goes to a judge, they also have a role in this. So they didn't go to the trouble of investigating it either. It's kind of strange.
Well, the Justice Department filed papers when they arrested Ghislaine Maxwell to deny her bail request, saying that she misstated her transactions that are $20 million and that what she put down was not accurate in her paperwork for Bell Financial Details. Here you have Jeffrey Epstein doing the same thing with $300 million for his Bell application. Both of these people are breaking the law in front of the public. Both of them. They're breaking the law. There's $300 million under a 4 or 5 word detail, which is money laundering. That's all it is. It's very simple. So once media like you explain this carefully, and we'll give you paperwork. We'll send you over paperwork so that you can understand it better.
Okay.
Because you need to understand it better, and we'll walk you through this step by step slowly. We're going to do that for you because you're trying to bring light on it, and we're doing the research. We have a great team of researchers on this, people in the media that are putting the major effort in, and we're going to send you the evidence so that you can discuss it with the public.
Usually when you get arrested or indicted, you would, at that point, the ruse is over. You would at least give a financial accounting that's somewhat relevant, somewhat truthful. But these guys are saying, screw you. We still have no respect for the law. We'll put down $300 million miscellaneous and it's on you to go find out where that money is from, you know, that kind of thing. So it's difficult to track money down when they're, and now you don't have, Epstein's not around to help you anyhow. If he was going to cooperate, he's not around. So you're left in the dark.
Well, the defendants that moved this money are Julian Maxwell and Darren Indyke. They are available. And the Southern District of New York prosecutors have said that Darren Indyke is a person of interest, and they have arrested Julian Maxwell. So these people that did it and are part of this are targets this minute. What is needed here is more effort by the public to seek justice. Don't forget the country is in this terrible condition of virus and stay-at-home orders and quarantines, and the country is facing unemployment records and losses. The country's crisis is overwhelming, but this case, with the media's assistance and people like you, Mike, we're going to bring light to this case for the victims and for the voters of America. We're going to explain. Very important.
The victims are the ones that always get left in the lurch. When Epstein died, they will never see him in court to answer for what he did. Alleged crimes, I call them, out of respect for the law. But I use the word alleged lightly, but, and then they always seem to get kind of forgotten in the mix. So it is important for them to have some type of, any kind of closure they can get their hands on, because they have to weather this for the rest of their lives. And many of them have had to weather it for a long time already. I saw that Ms. Giffrey is in the hospital now. I sent her a message the other day, and I was told she was in the hospital in intensive care unit. Virginia Giffrey, one of the victims who is pretty well known. So they all have struggles and hardships beyond this, and many can be linked to this psychological, health-wise, and so the victims do need something. It would be nice for the victims to get some of this money in their pockets, Stephen. Instead of the feds kind of letting these guys do whatever, I still can't understand why they haven't locked it all down. I this makes no sense.
That's what you're focused on in what we're putting out to the public to lock it down now. And we're going to give you contacts in former FBI top people who have affirmed that the FBI wants to lock it down. They want to lock it down. Now, we can help them do that. We can show them different details. Here's $300 million money laundered with five words. That is without a question grounds to go in and ask for a seizure of the funds. There's no question. This is an opportunity to do that. So we're going to do that, Michael. We're going to do it.
What FBI wants many times is not what actually happens. Those guys, a lot of those guys beat their heads against the wall. They put together great cases and runs up the flagpole of justice and nothing happens. And they're sitting around scratching their heads saying, this doesn't make any sense. This should already be done. And I think if you talk to, you're talking to ex-FBI, I talk to guys that are in the system, both former and currently, and they come to the conclusion, why do we break our asses on these cases if we put together fantastic cases and they blow up when they go up the flagpole? You know what I mean?
It's hard to think that the largest case in America today, which Ghislaine Maxwell is leading as the most famous federal prisoner in America, it's hard to believe, it's hard to consider that this is not going to be worked on. It really would be a tragedy. And the media, like yourself, Michael, you're not going to stand by and let that happen. You just need the information which you're now getting. You're getting $300 million of evidence showing black and white money laundering that can't be defended. There's no defense. Black and white.
Well, when I worked anti-money laundering for Citi, we try to explain to people because I think maybe this will fill in some gaps. Every dime you have, whether you're a corporation or an individual, has to be accounted for. You can't just say, I have $100 million in my account from investments. When it comes time to do something with that money, or if the feds come in and say, hey, where'd you get that money? You just can't say, oh, it's in equities. Oh, it's in investments. Oh, it's in deals I made. And they say, cool. What deals? What investments? What equities? Where's the paperwork? Where's the paper trail? Where's the documentation? So what you're saying is he puts down $300 million with a couple words and there's absolutely no documentation behind it to prove that he has equities. He got it from investments. It was made, earned, built legally. And I think this is where the rub is. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where the seizure of the $300 million could work. Because there's no basis for this five words. Equities, that's an answer for $112 million. Hedge fund and private equity, that's an answer for $194 million. That's $300 million that they're making a fool out of voters and the public and the voters and the media.
I think, Steve, I think I'm losing the connection. Did you move? It was good before.
Yeah, is it better now?
Is it better now? Yeah. I could barely hear what you just said about that.
Well, the $300 million, $194 million hedge fund private equity words, that's all it says. The other one, equity, $112 million. That's an absolute money laundering crime that can be evident right now because the documents are being discussed on air right here, and they can start the process of moving to seize the $300 million. And that's what we're looking for, to help the FBI seize the $300 million. It can be done. The evidence starts right here. And I'm going to send you the documents this week.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll definitely take a look at it. There's no doubt. I can comb through it. Maybe I can pick something up from the docs.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'll get you more answers, much more answers, so that you can help the public understand this case.
Well, we'll keep plugging away at it. That's what we're doing. And you keep plugging away at it, too. You're making some progress, obviously.
Making real progress. We have real evidence now of this amazing amount of money legally benefiting Jeffrey Epstein. And I have more to discuss, much more. But let me get you started, Michael.
Let me ask you a personal question. You're how old now? How old are you?
75.
What drives you to be doing this now? What has kicked you in the ass and put a fire underneath you for you to undertake this? I'm just curious because that's the way I think. I think maybe other people might want to know. Is it because he helped sell you out? Does that fall into it? I could surmise that has something to do with it, but I'm asking you straight out.
Remorse, forgiveness, the victim's need for emotional medical treatment for life. I'm a participant, an eyewitness, an involved person with all these individuals. And there's been no justice. There has absolutely been unfair treatment of these cases. And I'm not making claims here about who's wrong or who's right. I'm saying we need justice in this case. And because I'm in the case personally, at my age, how do I sit back and do nothing? That's why I'm stepping forward, for the victims' benefits. These victims are scarred for life. They have lifetime damages. This is not something that's going to get better quickly. I am dealing with these victims. It's shocking, the lifetime damages that they're suffering. And we want to get them justice. And the FBI wants justice. Like you said, the agents want justice.
Yeah, that's
true. If we all work together, if we work with the FBI agents on the side of the media, justice will be had in this case. There's no question. The justice is available in this case. And we got to do that work. Well, and you're the man, Michael.
I appreciate it. But what you're describing just a few minutes ago about you personally is you're on almost what I call a vision quest. You're trying to right some wrongs with the time that you have left. So my question is, what changed that? What made you come around? Was there some type of a catalyst event that you said, hey, I gotta pick up my game here. There's a lot of victims and I was part of this. What changed you? What made you roll up your sleeves every day?
I have been doing this, trying to expose this mystery for 33 years. I filed hundreds of thousands of documents trying to expose this case with all kinds of evidence. And now the documents, the evidence, the ongoing money laundering by Ghislaine Maxwell, Darren Indyke, and their co-conspirators are finally in the light. And that's why I'm doing it, because I've been on this mission 33 years, filing hundreds of thousands of documents. But now, with the death of Jeffrey Epstein in prison, with the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, with the media cycles covering this every day in the week, I understand the case. I understand the mystery. The least thing I could do is explain it adequately and teach others what's taking place in these crimes. I hope you understand my emotions in helping the victims.
Oh, I do. Absolutely. I just want to try to get inside of what's happening with you on what's driving you, because these things take on a life of their own when you can almost become obsessive over it, and it kind of takes your life over. So when it gets to that level, and it sounds like you've been at that level for a while, possibly, I'm surmising again, but you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that when you have that much emotion, have that much vested interest driving you, I'm curious to know why.
This has been what we call injustice. And now the injustice is transparent in this mystery case all over the media cycles daily. And as you say, I have answers. I was there. I was an eyewitness for 9 years of the injustice. I've been doing the research for 33 years. So it's a bit of a career path. And it's important.
It's a career path. Important. It is. It is. It takes on, like I say, life of its own when you're on the trail like
and
this.
I'm enjoying the work product. And it needs to be done. And I'm getting tremendous cooperation from other experts that want this advice and explanation to what's taking place.
Well, we'll keep
very
on.
Important project.
Yeah, I think it's a primary project. The balance now is like you spoke about earlier. How do we keep this at the forefront with everything else going on in our country? Is at a massive crossroads on so many fronts, financial, medical, just
unemployment,
economic. It's crazy.
A tragedy.
It really is. And
it's a tragedy.
And it's just going to get lost in the shuffle with everything else. It's like you run the danger that, I'm not saying the work that you're doing, I'm saying when it gets to the desk of somebody like William Barr, who seems like he's already punted on it with Berman, but that's another story for another day. But we'll stay on top of it, Stephen, and I appreciate another segment with you where we can break some news and pull the curtain back on this further. I appreciate your work, man. I appreciate you talking to me and the folks that listen to
sure
us.
Sure thing, Michael.
All right. We'll do
good
it
job,
again.
Michael.
All right. Take care, man.
Righto. Bye-bye.
See you. Another epic... Another epic episode, another epic interview, fantastic interview, enlightening interview, news-breaking interview from Stephen Hoffenberg, former publisher of the New York Post, and longtime mentor and a business partner of Jeffrey Epstein, and is dropping bombs. And you know why now. You know what drives him. And I think it's fascinating. He's turned into kind of a fascinating guy, and I hope he stays on this path and we can do more work together. And he keeps turning over rocks and letting us know what he finds. The CDC thing is unbelievable. I mean, we can... But we appreciate the folks on patreon.com/truepundit, subscribestar.com/truepundit, who have access to all of our Pain in the Morning video podcast, The More Pain Show, as well as anything else we can find that's worthwhile for subscribers. And if you find something in these shows that tickles your fancy or makes you smarter, or broadens your horizons, feel free to chip in a couple bucks on those platforms. Every little bit helps, and it goes a long way, and we are grateful for it. We don't get too cocky, and every now and then I'll get a little cocky, but I can back it up, so it's not a problem. But we try to stay humble and try to stay balanced. If we have good victories, we just go right back to work. We don't spike the football and dance around like a lot of people do. They get a story. They beat on it for like 6 days. I'm the man. Come on. Get back to work. There's a lot of work to do. You score a touchdown, get back on the field. Try to run up the score, man. It's not a level playing field to begin with, so you got to try to score as much as you can. And we appreciate your support. It goes a long way. As I say to the end of every show, and we'll be back tomorrow, Pain in the Morning again. Take care and God bless.
It's all